Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grillin' mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, hopefully you don't have too big of a hangover from that four-day holiday weekend that we just came off of. But it's the new weekend, the 2nd of June, and summer's in full swing, man. We've had some record heat here in West Michigan, and challenges a grilling guy to make sure you keep your salad cold. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, that's right. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. We are going to be picking our butts for an hour. What do you think of that?
I think I'm probably going to be sore by the time it's over.
It's all about butts. We cover butts a bit, but as I follow all these social threads, I keep seeing experienced grillers with questions that I think, you know, need just picking a little bit. So I want to give a little word of prayer to Tom Fongers, Brian Fongers' dad, who's in recovering from a prolonged health emergency. He's in our prayers, Mr. Fonger. So Brian's our producer. He's the wizard of the big board here for the Grilling Guys. He makes us sound better than we really are.
Well, yeah, there is some magic in what he does.
That's right.
No question.
So, Jop, I understand you want to go on a rant, so hit it.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to throw any particular people under the bus. But over the holiday weekend, we had invited some people over, four people, right? And first it was going to be two, and then 3 hours before they're going to get there, they're like, hey, we've got these two others with us. So now it has to turn to four. And I'm going to do the quintessential Memorial Day barbecue. I'm going to do porterhouse steaks. I'm going to do corn on the cob, and I've got some pasta salad going. We're going to cook some garlic bread, and we're going to, you know, I got all this stuff planned. I got it laid out. I got it portioned, and then my party just grew by 50%. Now, granted, it's only 4 to 6, but you just can't manufacture a steak, right? So it's like right in the middle of the cooking.
No, you can cut them in half.
Right, yeah. So, but a couple hours before I'm ready to serve, which was enough time, I guess, is I got to go to the store and buy more of everything, right? Which is okay. I did that. But I get back. So they're supposed to be, let's say, at 5:30. They're supposed to be there. So I get ready, you know, and you're timing everything.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You got everything all lined up so that you can sit down and eat with people
right
when they're there, but the food's still hot, mm-hmm. right? Well, at 5:30, they're supposed to be there. Quarter after 5, hey, we're still 45 minutes away. So we'll be there by 6:30. Quarter after 6, hey, we haven't left yet. We're really leaving right now. They show up at about 20 after 7. Okay.
Oh, my.
And I'm like,
so we're 2 hours late.
They're 2 hours late. And when they get there, the other two people that they brought had deadlines where they had to be someplace by 9 o'clock. So I get the food cooked. We sit down. They're there like 20 minutes, bang, out of there. And I'm like, this ain't a restaurant, man. This was supposed to be a family deal on a holiday weekend.
There's an easy solution to the next time, then.
Just don't invite them,
don't
right?
invite them.
Yeah.
No. I'm sorry. That bounces you off the list.
Right. And, yeah. You know, it's just where I'm going is that there were some challenges there to make steaks the right temperature, to not overcook corn, to not burn garlic bread because you're ready. Ah.
Oh.
And you can't just
some
uncook
of that stuff,
stuff
doesn't hold.
Right.
Hold that steak on the grill.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But anyway, we got it done.
You can resole your shoes.
They, yeah. They ate, and everybody was happy but me, I guess. But
well, I went down to Brother's Weekend with my wife's family, all of my brother-in-laws, and there was 10 guys on Lake Gaston, which is on the border of North Carolina and Virginia. I go there about every year. A couple years ago, I went to Fort Bragg, delivered a smoker for GI Barbecue.
Right.
And I'm going to follow up with that in segment 5. We're going to talk about the last delivery. But 10 guys, you know, and when the girls come back from Girls Weekend, I hear all the stories. Guys Weekend, we just get along. We have a great time. We got wave runners, pontoon boat, big dock with a cover on it, and lots of beer and lots of food. one of my challenges was my brother-in-law who owns the place always loves to buy cheap steak. And we got 10 guys. Oh, not only that, he got a new grill. He got the smallest Weber he could get. Yeah. Now, this guy, I'm going to say, gets a new Range Rover, Mercedes, or Cadillac every 3 months.
He's a man of means.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So I've got this little Weber spirit, and my brother-in-law always does the grilling there, the baby of the family. And he's going, hey, Bobby, you going to help me do the steaks? And I'm like, oh, man, I already saw him. I don't want anything to do with it.
Right.
But I had to, and they're all talking about how great these steaks are, and I can't even chew mine. It's so tough. It's like a select cut strip.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I don't want my name on that thing. So that's the nightmare. On the way back, we had a storm. Of course, that thing coming in, I had to fly to Atlanta.
Right.
In the meantime, I go to TGI Fridays because I got a layover in Atlanta. Because as soon as I got to Atlanta, they go, oh, your flight's canceled.
Yeah.
So I'm great. Like, oh, I'm spending the night in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But I ran into this cool couple. We had a fantastic conversation about grilling at TGI Fridays.
Right.
And the reason the lady was so kind and gave me a seat, and then she saw I was wearing my Team Trump shirt.
Okay.
And she goes, oh, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. You're not talking to him. I'm thinking I got a diehard, you know,
right.
lib on the left. She goes, my husband loves Trump. You are not talking to him. I'll never get to him. She sat between us. We talked all food, no politics.
Yep.
And I just wear the Trump shirt because it's got red, white, and blue sleeves.
Sure.
And it's nice and patriotic. And
right.
I know I'm going to catch some flack. I didn't catch any flack.
Right.
I actually got lots of compliments. But we ended up talking for 2 hours, Long Island iced teas.
Right.
And this guy.
That does lube the conversation.
They live in Memphis. His name's John. He was supposed to be on the show, but he got the email last night.
Right.
He's got to go to Arizona. He wants to be on in a week or two. Diehard griller, duck hunter, deer hunter.
Our kind of guy.
We had the most fantastic conversation, and his wife had to sit between us while we shared pictures of food.
Yeah.
And a wonderful, wonderful couple. But I want to give a quick shout out to some boys who are helping me on a project. I'm building that island top right now.
Okay.
And I cut up all my boards last night.
Okay.
But I've got all hickory and oak and little sassafras. So I wanted some cherry. So
Are you doing like a butcher block?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm making it myself for the island.
Right.
Jop hooked me up with a beautiful 8-9 foot island, something
right.
like that. And so I'm going to make the top for it because the rest of the kitchen isn't going to be ready for like a year.
Right. Yep.
So I don't want to wait for the quartz. I'm going to build a butcher block because your designer said it was okay.
Right.
She talked my wife into it. So I thought, man, I need to get some cherry in there. So I went to a place in Grand Rapids, Michigan called Ton Tin. Dude, I've been going here since I bought my first house here in 84.
Right.
And it's like down on Godfrey. It's this little hardwood place. It's not little at all. You can drive by it in a heartbeat, but these guys are so cool. He just he hooked me up with some beautiful cherry, and it's if you're struggling with a wood home fix it project, don't go to the big box store. Go down to Ton Tin because Daryl, he's the man.
Well, and you go to a specialty place like that, you're going to get exactly what you're looking for.
Anything.
It's not picked over either.
Anything.
Right?
And if you go in the backyard, you'll see a bunch of giant logs like I take off my property. He actually mills them there, does all that stuff,
yep.
even if you want to do that. But fun place if you like home fix-it projects, if you're like into woodworking like me. So I'm going to have a butcher block top, and they're going to actually
I'm going to do
a couple 20-inch sections, 9 foot long. He's going to run them through his big planer.
That's what
I was going to
ask.
And then he's going to marry the two for me.
Right. Yep. They'll probably, yeah. If his planer's big enough, he might marry him first and then run it through all at once.
Yeah, he can only do like 30 inches.
I see.
I'm going to do
a
couple 22s.
Yeah. Yep. That'll be cool. You'll like that. And, you just got to treat that right and seal it every once in a while, and that wood will be a beautiful top, and it'll be durable and hang with you. But coming up next, we're going to dive into a little butt picking. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from The Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com. Look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's S-A-F-F-I-R-E at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. At SobeyMeats.com.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough cause you notice that butt was stuffed. Deep in the jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh,
welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We are going to talk about some big butts. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
That song, that's got some bottom to it right there. It's so appropriate, but who doesn't get the badunkadunk going on that thing?
Right, yeah.
You try if nothing else. Right.
Twerk and me are not friends. I can tell you that right now.
Picking your butt. So I thought it would be cool to talk about how you determine what you're going to do for a butt. You mentioned boneless or not.
Right. Yeah, and when you walk into a butcher shop or any place that is a meat market, you might have to ask for...
Where there's big butts.
Boston butt or pork shoulder or pork butt are all terms that are synonymous to this big front shoulder of a hog that everybody, when it's done, calls pulled pork, right? So... Depending on where you are, they may come in a two-pack that are kind of cryovac together, or you may be able to buy them singularly.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, this is this big, heavy hunk of meat.
Boston butt, that, pork shoulder.
Right, that either comes with the shoulder blade in it, or it's been removed with a knife. I think there's about a 50-50 school out there of which one you like versus the other, but there's always a fat cap.
And the terminology can get you in trouble on that too.
Right.
Because it's funny because you said butt, shoulder, all this stuff. Some places you go, if you say, I want a pork shoulder, they'll actually give you the shoulder, the shank portion, which is a picnic if it's smoked.
Okay. Yep.
Sometimes you'll get the Boston butt and the shoulder.
Right.
Right. And
with the leg on it. You're talking the shank down to the elbow.
Yeah.
That's what makes it a picnic.
The picnic. And that's a different type of piece of meat. And you even said people call it this or that. Well, some people don't even call it pulled pork. Some people call it barbecue. When they're saying, I'm going to get some barbecue, it's just pulled pork.
Right.
But they just call it. So terminology is just crazy.
Yep. Over the map. Could be regional. Just might be in your neighborhood.
It's very regional.
However that works. But... personally, this is a big, heavy, dense, thick piece of meat. It's the size of a volleyball, generally, okay? So you can season the heck out of this thing, and it's never going to get on the inside. So you're creating a flavor profile with the smoke and the seasoning on the outside half inch of this thing, and the rest of it's just the pork's got to do the work, man. But I prefer them boneless, because when that happens is the butcher... has cut that shoulder blade out of there, And what happens is that opens up that and gives me more surface area to get seasoning on, mm-hmm. right? And that's the only reason I like one versus the other is because I feel like I can get the seasoning inside and go and, top and bottom.
And you like to put garlic in it and close it. There's another way you can actually do that in that just put your rub on the whole thing, smoke it wide open. Now mm-hmm. you've got more bark if right. that's what you're trying to get. And I love the bark part on a butt because butt's boring. Right. But it's kind of nice to get a more smoke ring that way. You know, you talk about how you're going to serve it. What are you going to do with it? You know, in some areas, they'll have it boned. They'll bind it like you do. You know, they'll season it, bind it back up, smoke the whole thing, and they'll slice it. That's right. their idea of barbecue.
But so we just covered a lot of ground that I want to slow back down and re-hit. Bark. What is bark? Because you hear that term, but explain to the people what bark is.
It's a chemical reaction, basically, to salts and sugars and the proteins of the meat and the fats congealing and being cooked with smoke or not smoke, but typically smoke.
Right.
And it gets black and crusty because you actually have a penetration of the smoke into the meat. For, you know, the deeper the penetration, the better. You'll see if you cut a piece of meat open like that, you'll see a real dark pink ring around it.
And that's where I want to go.
That's your smoke ring.
Right, because the novice person or maybe somebody that doesn't know barbecue, their first reaction is, ooh, I can't eat that because that pork's not done because it's pink still, where it's actually the exact opposite. That is the most done piece of that meat, but the smoke, when it penetrates that pork shoulder, it turns it pink, right? There's a chemical reaction there. So when you look at that pink piece of pork, it's actually, if you've cooked it right, it's the most done piece of the whole shoulder.
Well, if that's what your smoke penetrated, it is definitely the most done piece.
Right, yeah.
And that's why you take your digital probe and go into the center of that mass
right.
to get your temperature read.
Yep. So when we're porking,
when we're
cooking a pork butt, yeah, when we're cooking this, we want to cook it slow and indirect, right? We're not grilling this, we're smoking it, correct? Indirect
usually,
heat.
Usually.
Yes. Yeah. So where I'm going is if you don't have a smoker, then you could create your grill with heat on the left, meat on the right. And you want to be at about what temperature, Bob, when you're cooking this on a slow basis?
Well, everybody's equipment, if you've got that weak little spirit grill I was using,
yeah,
you're going to take whatever temperature one burner will give you.
Right.
Because if it's a small surface, I mean, you've got to get that meat over to one side so that you can have an indirect area. So right. a lot of it depends on the size of your grill. And I would tell you if you're looking for a grill, keep that in mind and don't go to the cheap one. You don't have to buy the $4,000 grill, but really be careful because you know, a good grill should last you 10 to 20 years. Don't buy a grill that doesn't do these things that you want it to do. So keep in mind, you might want to do indirect grilling. Let's say you're not going to get a smoker.
Right.
Shame on you. Get yeah, a smoker.
Right.
But you know, even if you do buy that wrong grill, you can go to, Masterbuilt or any of these cheap Chicom brands of smokers, and you can for $200, you can pick up some little piece of trash like that that'll do a decent job smoking. Or you can go down to Garrett's and get that stainless Tex box
from Texas,
$379.
Right,
anybody can buy that.
Right.
Now our buddy Dave Duzma, his wife Betsy called me last year because she wanted a birthday present for him.
Right.
She bought him that. Garrett's actually delivered it to their cottage. And Dave is madly in love now with
his wife or the smoker or both?
Both.
It's
a menage.
There you go, Dave. Yeah. He's a strong supporter of the Grilling Guys show and always a lot of fun.
Barbecue étoile.
Right, yeah. He's helped us with our GI barbecue, which we'll talk about a little bit at the end of the show here. But back to the pork butt. So you didn't answer the question, but when we're indirect heat, you're 250 to 270. You want to slow cook this thing. You don't want to run this at 400 because you want the slower the cook, the more tender it's going to be.
And you
when
know,
it's done.
Some of these cheaper grills won't have a temperature gauge on them.
Right.
I'm thinking like a Weber kettle or some cheap kettle that, You know, it's just going to be charcoal, and that's a wonderful smoking device.
Mm-hmm.
It should have, if it doesn't, just buy one and clip it on it, or, you know, find a way to check your temperature, even if it means sticking your probe in the exhaust vent.
Right.
But get your temperature. Yeah, you're going to want to go 250, 275, and put smoke on it for a few hours, and then back off on the smoke and just cook it.
Yeah, so coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit deeper about the time and temperature and the techniques that you're going to use to make sure this thing turns out right. Because Bob mentioned earlier that, do you want to pull it? Do you want to slice it? How do you want to serve this? Because that's going to make a difference on what temperature you bring this thing to serve. You're listening to The Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I ain't talking about Playboy, because silicone parts are made for toys. I want them real thick and juicy, so find that juicy double. Mix-a-Lot's in trouble, begging for a piece of that bubble. So I'm looking at rock video.
Have you missed episodes of The Grilling Guys? Go to thegrillingguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillingguys.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's all about your butt today, so I hope you're sitting down for this segment because we're going to do time and temperature, and you might want to make sure you get a feel for this. So I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. Man, what's cooking?
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. It is the Grilling Guys. Don't forget to go to our Facebook page / The Grilling Guys, and our website is The Grilling Guys. See in the thread here?
Yeah.
Our website, you'll find all sorts of things if you look up at all the menus and stuff, but there's recipes, there's cool stuff categories, there's GI barbecue links. There's links to all of our sponsors if you want to see these wonderful people that keep us on the air to bring you this stuff, or if you want to write them hate mail because you hate the show.
Yeah.
It's all there.
So, Bob, we've been talking about pork butts, and we're at this point where we touched on a little bit in the last segment about what temperature to cook it and how long to cook it. It depends on what your final result is that you want, right? Because we talked about do you pull it, do you slice it, and all of these things play into the final product. But before we hit that, I want to talk about seasoning, because we haven't touched on that, and that's before we put it in the smoker, we got to season it with something. And I think there's a lot of different options here. I got a guy that I work with at Standard Kitchens who's been barbecuing his whole life, right? And he came in over Tuesday after the holiday weekend, say, hey, what'd you cook over the weekend? You know, normal comment. Everybody does, one grilling guy to another. And he said, well, I cooked some pork butts. I'm like, cool. What'd you do with them? He said, I put them in Bloody Mary mix overnight. Like 9 o'clock at night, I had a gallon jug or one of the Bloody Mary mixes, cheaper Bloody Mary mix, poured it in there in a big Ziploc bag and zipped it up, and he soaked his pork butt in that and then put it on the smoker the next morning. He said, just a great flavor profile. Now, that's almost a marinade rather than a dry
rub. It's got plenty of salt. It's got celery. It's got garlic, right? Onion.
Tomato with a little acid in it.
Beautiful.
So it worked out. But I've never tried that.
Pretty funny. I had Bloody Mary mix chili once. Yeah. My sister made it. It was fantastic.
Yeah. So anyway, where I'm going is there's a lot of different options on that. But what a traditional seasoning that you'd put on
a
pork butt.
I use about anything. It doesn't seem to matter whether I'm buying Bad Byron's or if I'm...
Billy Bones works?
Billy Bones, I'm using Dizzy Pig, or if I just don't have much and I just grab some sea salt, cracked pepper, garlic powder, onion powder, and paprika and sugar and just make up my own blend.
Right.
A decent amount of sugar, surprisingly, is good with butts. But I don't even put mustard on them anymore. I used to lather them up in mustard and... I don't know.
To make the dry rub stick.
Well, there's all sorts of theories as to why they started it. But either way, it tends to stick anyway.
Yeah.
You know, because it's wet.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I'll put lots of seasoning on because I've never really had one where it was like, oh my gosh, over seasoned it.
Right. Big, dense chunk of meat. Again, about the size of a volleyball. It'll eat up a bunch of. Now, one tip I have about seasoning is every one of these pork butts that you'll get will have a fat cap on it, right? And I don't season the fat cap side because I pull it off. I don't ever serve it when it's done cooking.
Yeah, you want to set that down on your rack when you're smoking it.
Right.
So that's going to reduce. You're going to get rid of a bunch of it.
Right.
If you want to be a fanatic, you could trim it off. But you want to put the fat side down, meat side up, just cake it with seasoning. Smoke the heck out of it. Don't oversmoke it, but give her lots of smoke for a couple hours.
Right.
At a lower temp, like 225 to 275. And make sure you're not oversmoking because you can add a lot of bitterness and you'll end up with heartburn. And then after a certain while, they say around 140 to 150, the meat won't accept the smoke anymore. So you're just piling it up on the outside. So then you stop smoking and you just keep baking it, basically,
right,
is what you're doing.
And you're turning up the heat a little bit. Most of the smokers that are out there, that 225 to 270 is where you'll get a good smoke because you're limiting the air flow through there.
Right.
If you've got a pellet grill, you can set it at that. But you get it much above that 275.
Stop smoking.
It stops smoking and you're baking, which is fine.
Yep.
Baking, not bacon.
But that doesn't give you the smoke profile.
Right.
So then to wrap or not to wrap, I'll tell you, if you don't want to wrap.
And what you mean is wrap the piece of meat after a certain period of
time.
Right,
to wrap it and finish it. If you don't want to wrap it, try injecting it for some hydration. And you can even pull it out and re-inject it when you're at 150 or something and you should be wrapping. You can re-inject it. Because the muscle has now expanded and a bunch of your liquid is gone. So you've got, it'll receive that liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fine thing too. And there's all sorts of injections. You can do Bloody Mary mix if you wanted to, but I'm thinking of Creole butter for injection butter.
Right.
It's fantastic. And I make jerky out of it. I mean, it's just a great profile. But one thing I've come to the conclusion of, and I ragged on you about aluminum foil in the past. I did ribs a few weeks ago when I was doing that review for Silverback, which if you haven't checked it out, go to our website and look at the review for the Grilla Silverback pellet smoker. It's pretty cool. And then go to their Facebook page. They have a group of followers already in their short span of life that's like 10,000 Facebook fans.
Right.
And these people are prolific on this page. Well, I did the ribs for that, and what I found was I put them on with some butter and honey and barbecue sauce to finish and rewrapped them. That aluminum foil was melting when I wrapped them the second time. And I tell you, I'm bothered by aluminum going into your body and studies I see, Alzheimer's, all these things. This aluminum was disintegrating. So I am, from here on out, done with wrapping with aluminum. I'll use butcher paper If it doesn't have a waxy plastic lining, I'll use plain old butcher paper. But no more foil for this cap, because that really scared me.
I've never seen that happen. You had to have a pretty high heat going.
Nope. I was at 300 degrees.
Really?
But it's acid.
Yeah, well, okay.
I've had them stick to the ribs plenty of times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's starting, you look at that foil and it's changing color. It's like, wow, there's something wrong with that. I'm sorry. Reynolds or not, right. I am not using foil anymore.
Okay. Well, I use it, and, you know, maybe it's rotting my teeth or something. I don't know. But anyway, it so far, so good. But you only wrap the pork butt to lock in some of the steam when it's going. And it, like you said, it's about 150 where you decide to wrap it.
And that's why I brought up the re-injecting, because there's plenty of guys that don't wrap.
Right.
And those butts turn out beautiful. You bring it up to 195, you pull it, and then you put it in a crock pot or something to keep that steam inside, and it'll rehydrate itself. You can actually even put just a little bit of fluid in there then, or whatever you want to do, but you don't have to wrap a butt.
Right. So if you want to slice it, when we're back to time and temperature, if you want to cook it to slice it, you're going to stop at about 180, probably. 185.
Yep.
Right? If you want to pull it, you want to go to 195, but don't go above 200,
right,
because it turns into this mealy mush. It's really weird. That last 15 degrees makes a huge difference in one of these pork shoulders, because
some people don't notice it and don't mind it.
Right, but I do. It's a texture and a mouthfeel thing, because it'll go from steaky at 185 mm-hmm. to pull apart and stringy at 195.
Right.
At about 200, it turns into this mush. And it's got no texture at all. You can almost like cream it and spread it. So it's just it's an interesting piece of meat.
Pork pate.
Right. But yeah. But it's super, forgiving up till about 185 degrees. And then after that, you got to be a little careful.
We like big butts, but we like big walleye too.
Right. Yeah. Coming up next, a buddy of the show, Captain Ken Glupker from Gyra Charters. He's a walleye specialist, and walleye, I don't know about you, but walleye is one of our favorite fish. So we're going to cast a line out to Captain Ken. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I was walking with my feet 10 feet off a beer, walking in Memphis. But do I really feel the way I feel? They've got catfish on the table.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at StandaleLumber.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson. That's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids. We even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
Come on, Kaisan Binky. driven by my buddy Mike.
Or my buddy Captain Ken, as it may be. But you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and we appreciate you tuning in each and every day. And one of the things, the rite of summer, is that you have in your traditions, one of ours, is that every year we get an opportunity to talk to a guy that knows almost everything there is to know about walleye fishing, and that is Captain Ken Glupker from Gyra Charters. Captain Ken, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's always good to hear your voice. So how are you, man? The boat's floating and the fish are biting?
Well, I'll tell you, the boat is definitely floating. It's floating today. Matter of fact, we've got a lot of high winds, and so there isn't any fishing going on today. But the month of May here in Saginaw Bay has been phenomenal.
Hey, buddy, it's Bob. How are you?
Hey, hi, Bob. Doing great.
I haven't seen you in a couple years. I miss you.
Yeah, I know. We've had a turn of bad luck and schedules getting screwed up, but we've done the best we could.
Right. Well, I do run into our mutual friend Roger from Orion, and so I get to see him once in a while, but I didn't get invited to his horse party, you know, for the sweepstakes. What,
Kentucky Derby?
The Kentucky Derby party. Were you there?
No, I was not there.
I guess we're both losers.
Right. Yeah.
So how's the harbor? How's the Saginaw Bay looking this year overall?
Well, I'll tell you, this year, like last year, the month of April was very, very difficult. It was very tough to fish. We had a long winter. But the month of May, I would say this is probably one of the better months that we've had in a long time. The fish were running really good size. A lot of the guys I chum with did very well out, chartering. And I would say this year I booked probably more fish in the month of May than I have in a long, long time, if not ever.
Well, Ken, one of the good things about that is the limits have changed, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's gone. You know, last year they changed it, and this is the second year that they've had it. It's gone from 5 fish to 8 fish, and it's gone from 15 inches to 13 inches. So, you've got to catch a lot more fish, and you can keep a little bit smaller fish if you elect to.
Right. And one of those things is that that just increases your work as a charter captain, but it really increases the value to the fishermen because, you know, they're coming home with 6 more fillets than they might otherwise in years past, which is really cool because, you know, you really can't get too many walleye fillets.
Well, I can't disagree with you.
Yeah.
Walleye is still my favorite food.
Yeah. Now, do you catch other things out there in the harbor in the bay when you're out, or is it just predominantly you can target the walleyes?
Well, it's predominantly walleyes, depending on where you're fishing and the time of year and the speed you're going. I mean, we get some very nice catfish. I'll tell you, some of the catfish we pull out of here are fantastic eating in a fantastic fight.
Right. I agree. I agree. So
there's a lot of sheephead, and there's a lot of these what we call white bass. That are starting to come on and starting to bite, and we generally do not keep them. Though we throw those back just like kind of in Lake Erie kind of thing, and yep. We let those go. But one of the things that has happened recently in the last, I'm going to say 2 years, the northern pike population has just exploded.
Wow.
And we're getting many times trolling in the shallow water, that type of thing. We've been catching some pretty nice pike.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. And
yeah, sounds like Canada fishing now.
Right.
Yeah, it is. It's been a lot of fun. And this winter we ice fished out in the bay, and I mean we got some northern pike that were we got one that was 20 plus pounds.
Wow.
Well, I love eating pike. A lot of people kind of snarl at it, but
it's got to be cleaned properly.
If you know how to get the Y bone out, even if you don't, that's a beautiful meat. Beautiful.
Absolutely. I enjoy northern pike tremendously. It's great.
Yeah, I enjoy killing them.
Well, they do put up a great fight. It's a lot of fun. They're great fish to catch.
We used to fish Esnagi all the time up in Ontario and fly in fishing. And you could get some very large ones up there, but sometimes you get those big 3 and 3.5 footers in the bottom of your boat because they come off the spoon right when you get them in.
Yeah.
And those things will go after your feet.
Yeah.
And you just got tennis shoes on. They're mean. Yeah. So you got to carry a pipe with you when you're pike fishing.
Yeah.
I still have a remnant of the northern pike we brought in 3 weeks ago on my finger.
So what's your website if people want to book your charter?
Well, it's gyrecharters.com, and that's J-I-R-E-H charters.com.
Yeah, that's cool, Ken. And do you have any spots left this summer? I know you're a busy guy because your success rate is huge. So you got openings yet?
Oh, yeah. I still have openings. We have a cottage. We rent the cottage, and the cottage is fairly booked. But we have several days available during the month of June and July, which are two of our favorite months.
So here's a wonderful...
I have spots mainly during the week. I have spots available. So if somebody's interested, I have availability, you bet.
So there's a wonderful combination. Jop and I use that cottage when we fish with you. You can actually stay right on the water, rent a cottage right next to your captain, get up in the morning, get your little coffee and donut and hit the boat. And that's just such a great operation, especially since nobody lives near you. No matter who's going to book you, they're driving an hour or two because you're in a location that's not real common to most people in Michigan.
Well, yeah, tell us where you are, Ken, real quick.
Yeah, I'm in Augrey, Michigan, which is on the west side of Saginaw Bay. It's kind of between Standish and Powys.
Yep. Okay.
The little town of Augrey.
Well, listen.
Right on the Augrey River.
We think you're all great. So I'm glad Jop gets to see you. I will not probably get to see you this summer, but hope to run into you down here at one of our favorite breweries like Schmoe's.
I'd look forward to that.
All right.
You guys are the best. You guys are the greatest.
All right.
I love dealing with you, talking with you. And, the guy that actually heard about the charter last year on your radio show has become a great friend, and it turns out he knows some of the same people I do, and he's coming back this year to fish again.
Fantastic.
So
good for you.
It's a great story and a great legacy.
Yeah. All right. Well, Captain Ken, thanks for chatting with us, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
Sounds great.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Captain Ken is a man of the Saginaw Bay. It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man!
Yeah, today's man law. No man shall ever read an instruction manual if the man does not know how to use the item. Trial and error shall be used until the correct function is determined.
You know what? That is a man law. Now, couple caveats. If you're working with electricity or gas, just maybe invite a buddy that's done it once or twice. You still don't need to read the manual, but just make sure you're not electrocuting or blowing something up.
Oh, boy.
Right?
I don't know about you. All right, I'll go with that. I'll buy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I've done that with you. You don't want to mess with your orifice and blow yourself up.
Aren't you, when you buy something, though, aren't you just so excited to get going at it? When I put that Grilla together, I had to read the instructions because I was writing a review,
right,
and I had to review the instructions.
Yeah.
But I had it all figured out before I even read the manual. It was so obvious what they were doing, and they did such a good job engineering it and packaging it,
right,
that it was just like, oh, I can see this. And I put so many grills together.
Yeah.
When I was selling grills, especially, you'd get to where you'd time yourself and, because it's money. You have to make money on the grill.
Right.
And so.
Well, it's like anything else. So you look at it, it's like, hell, I can do this.
Yeah.
This is no problem. And then you end up with 4 extra screws and you're like, they must have sent extras.
Yeah.
They always do.
So I got to deliver a load of GI barbecue to a base, And Jop and I are going to go over there and cook for these guys as soon as they get their event ready. But we're going to talk about that.
All right, coming up next, it's a little GI barbecue update. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we just got done with the Memorial Day weekend, and that's a time when we remember those that have sacrificed and served to allow a couple guys like Bob and I to just have a little fun on the radio and hopefully entertain you a little bit. And we take that very serious here at the Grilling Guys. And so we reached out and created a little organization called Operation GI Barbecue. And if you're new to the show, you've not heard us talk about it before. But those of you that are regulars, we've talked about it probably ad nauseum. But we're going to keep going with it because it's something we believe in. So, Bob, tell us what's going on with that.
Well, yeah. So we raised a bunch of money and we bought smokers, and we were donated by Original One, like a bunch of barbecue sauce. And we had Fat Boys Barbecue out of Idaho give us spices, and we had Stormy Cromer donate, Stormy Cromer hats, and just lots of people stepped
Parker
up.
Parker Charcoal, and yeah, a lot
Parker
of people.
Charcoal. And American Barbecue Systems gave us a killer price on three Judge smokers. And I have a Judge on a trailer. And
this is a huge
these
smoker.
Are,
right.
Yep, these are big reverse offset smokers. Yours is a reverse offset,
right,
your
yep.
chuck wagon.
Right.
It's got a rodeo smoker on it. But either way, it's a big box with a box behind it instead of on the end of it. So right. your smoke comes from behind through a louver that gives you a swirl effect, and you smoke evenly and your cook temps are even and
right.
yada, yada. Well, we bought three of these big smokers from American Barbecue Systems, and we just delivered the second one now to the three of the 328, which is a Michigan Army National Guard base that my son was a member of. He's actually a Chinook mechanic, so he's now down in Mount Clemens at Selfridge because a lot of the aviation guys have to go down there. But this base in Grand Ledge, Michigan, there's several units there, but Command Sergeant Major Brian Dix helped me put this together. He hooked us up with an NCO club that sells food and vending machines and whatnot and does things for the troops. So we got to work out an arrangement whereby they took possession of this because the Michigan Army National Guard cannot accept a gift over like $600.
Right.
So we hooked it up with them. I ran down a week ago because I had to go to Lansing for my job, threw it on a trailer, dropped it off, and Jop and I are going to go down sometime in the next month when they pick the event, and we're going to go teach them how to use it. We're going to smoke on it. We're going to feed 500 guys on that judge. So this is and women too. But this is an aviation base. It's got Black Hawk. It's got Eurocopters, I think they're called, that are DEA choppers there. And it did have Chinooks. They moved the Chinooks down to Selfridge. And my son is a Chinook mechanic. So he now has to drill out of Selfridge, Mount Clemens area.
Yeah.
But so good bunch of guys. I've got some good video I'll put on our Facebook page and on our website of these guys helping to unload it. Dude, you should have seen. You could tell who the foodies are.
Yeah.
I mean, they had more questions. They were like jumping up and down like the little pigs on Hee Haw. It was something to watch.
Well, you know what? What a great privilege we had to be able to put that together and now see it to come to fruition a second time. And we've got one more to go after this, so it's all good. But we're going to keep supporting this Operation GI Barbecue. We hope you do too. On the grillingguys.com, you can link to Operation GI Barbecue, or it's GIBBQ.com.
Yeah, it's GIBBQ. And if you go to our website, you'll see the link right at the top, Operation GI Barbecue. Click on, throw $5 in, throw 50, throw 100. We've got guys throwing 1,000 in at times.
Right.
We have not raised money for a while on it because we haven't pushed it because we had so much trouble delivering. We found a new in and a way to get around the system. So we're going to donate it to their clubs.
Very good. We appreciate you listening each and every week. Thanks for listening to The Grilling Guys, and we'll talk with you soon.
You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid. Hey, I'm steady. Hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price.